You make your face.
You make your face to shine on me, and that my soul knows very well. You lift me up, I'm cleansed and free, and that my soul knows very well. When mountains fall, oh, I'll stand, and by the power of your hand, and in your heart of hearts, I'll dwell, and that my soul knows very well.
Joy and strength.
Joy and strength. Each day I find, and that my soul knows very well. Forgiveness, peace, I know is mine, and that my soul knows very well. When mountains fall, oh, I'll stand, and by the power of your hand, and in your heart of hearts, I'll dwell, and that my soul. My soul knows very well. When mountains fall, oh, I'll stand, and by the power of your hand, and in your heart of hearts, I'll dwell, and that my soul. Forgiveness, peace, I know is mine, and that my soul knows very well. When mountains fall, oh, I'll stand, and by the power. Forgiveness, peace, I know is mine, and that my soul knows very well. When mountains fall, oh, I'll stand, and by the power.
a smile. I can't stand with him because I have gray, right? What do you reckon? Come on, stand with me this morning, amen? Hope you sleep well. You all sleep well. Ready to worship, amen? Hey, mountains fall. Hey, why? Because there's prayer. Prayer gone forward. Everything's gone forward, amen? So if you'd like to bow your heads with me, amen. Gracious Lord. It's so wonderful, Lord, just to be here in the house of the Lord. We're here to worship you in truth and in spirit. You know, Lord, it's been a hard road getting here, but we know by your grace, by your love, you've put within each and every one of us to get here this morning. You know, Lord, we go through so many things. You know, because you put them in the way, but you're also there, right there, lifting us up. You know, we think about the footprints in the sand. Amen. Only one set of footprints on that sand, walking on the beach there. And that's yours, Lord. Whereas, you're carrying us over everything. You know, Lord, we just want to worship you this morning, Lord. You know, Lord, it's just, yeah, words can't explain, Lord. But as we just think about you this morning, Lord, I know we're a bit cold this morning, Lord, but there's a fire within each and every one of us this morning. So, Lord, you come. Lord, create the atmosphere, a learning environment, a preaching environment, whatever, Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to lead us this morning. So, Lord, use those vessels this morning that you're going to use, all vessel. Use them, Lord, to edify your bride, Lord. So this morning, Lord, we just come unto you, knowing that you will come in our presence, Lord. You know, each time we get in the car, you're with us. Everywhere we go, you're with us. Everywhere. Mahi, home, trials, no trials, on the mountain, everywhere. You're the one that's always there. Always there. So this morning, Lord, as we commit this time into your hands, we give you all the praise, all the glory this morning. And we ask these things now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And a very, very good morning to you again. God bless you all. If you want to tune and greet one another this morning, hey, we're going to have a good time. Relax, smile. And I just mingle, mix and mingle. Hey, because the Lord's here for us. Amen. Be yourselves. If you want to have a cunny cunny, have a cunny cunny. By all means, sing for her. Even if you sound like a foghorn, make a joyful noise. Amen. The splendor of the King. Clothed in majesty, all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light and darkness. Come on now, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. Oh, how great is our God! Oh, sing with me, how great is
How great is our God? Oh, sing with me, how
to know is the name above all names. Amen. Worthy of all the praise. Worthy of all the glory. Worthy of the worship. Amen. You know, it's always good to get together. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Eh? Warm welcome again. Warm welcome to you. Behold, I live. I live forevermore. Amen. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. Got it? Fathers know the song. So I'm expecting some volume. Amen. More smiles. The grass are getting there. A bit cold. Just a little bit more. And we'll keep on going. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He heard a voice from heaven, and this is what it said. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning. Someone there, we'll carry on singing, eh, until she gets here. Amen. Ah, who am I? If I was to know the song. Oh, ah, yes, I hear a yes. So hopefully the accommodation wasn't too cold. You know, we know a God that can warm things up, right? Did you ask him to turn the heater on this morning? Well, obviously not. That's why it's cold. Hey, then we heard about it, eh? Have a dominion. Hey, we heard about a grandfather whistling yesterday. Amen, last night. So the wind will come. That's the same supernatural economy that's coming forth. Amen. That's one you want to be a part of. I tell you. Because everything, if you ain't, mate, you're going to miss it, right? Who am I? Oh, by the way, if you don't know me, you know me, I'm Brother Larry. So God bless. God bless you all. You know, you see me on the Zoom thing, I think, some of you. So my name's Larry. I'm from here. I've got a lovely wife, 4 children. So I'm just here and I'm praising God. Amen. I wouldn't be here without my Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't be up here singing, hey, ever. But my Lord Jesus Christ said, boy, you go, hey. And what do? Obey, hey. Yes, Lord, even though you don't want to. You say, yes, Lord, I love you so much, Lord, that I'll do anything for you, amen. To continue to walk, to talk the talk, amen. Walk in his will, walk in his economy, walk in his word, amen. My goodness, it's so wonderful, you know, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. That's why we're all here. I'm sure it is. I can say not for the kaimoana, but the fellowship, but a supernatural kaimoana, eh? A supernatural kai from the ngahere, eh? Praise God. Who am I, Lord? Oh, glorious victory, that day he set me free. Yeah. Amen. Good. And we're part of God's invincible army. Amen. Are you part of this army that never loses? Why? Because there's a captain of the host at the helm. Hey, one that's never lost, never will, ever, ever, ever will. God's invincible army. Amen. I don't know if you had heard this one, but this was right here by one of our pastor members. God's invincible army. Amen. There is a people in this hour resting in Jehovah's strength and power. Is that you? Wow. Come on. Wow. We're here, right? God's invincible army, brother, sister. Amen. No matter what you go through, God's invincible army. Amen. But you got to stay with the word. Stay with his promises. Stay with the instructions. Stay with the blueprint. Stay with him all the way. Amen. I'm not going like this or going that way. Been thrown to and fro. Amen. My goodness. Stay with him. You know why? Because you have a revelation. He teaches to you. Solemnly given to you. Personally. He comes down and he manifests the word. He speeds it up. Amen. He quickens it. Amen. We have a drink of water. You need a little tip.
We are the chosen. can we go wrong when we are resting in His arms? He will not let us down. Amen. He will not let us down. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let us down. Amen. We can always rely on the Lord. Amen. And then our, you know, this is what is a blessing to me, is that we can come together as a bride body and find His purpose for our gathering, because there's always a purpose for Him to be able to draw us together. And like I was saying yesterday, it wasn't something that we had organized. It was just something that came together by God's grace. And then, of course, it's a lot of times the ministry is gifted in a way they can find the purpose for the gathering. Normally, when the children of Israel gathered together, the trumpet sounded, eh? And then a certain way the trumpet was sounding would indicate what the gathering was for. So the trumpet had to give a certain sound. And that's what we're talking about today. Because what if the people didn't understand the different confederations of those trumpets, the different sounding? Because in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 10, there was two silver trumpets. And a certain configuration was to say, let the worshippers go first. A certain way that those trumpets were played, it might say, Judah, go up first. And Judah means praise. Another way they sounded those trumpets would be, bring your weapons of warfare. But what if you turned up to a praise and worship service with your sword and spear instead of your dancing slippers? Amen. Because the trumpet wasn't giving a certain sound. But if you understood the sounding of the trumpets, and what I'm talking about this morning is the sounding of those gospel trumpets. Those silver trumpets, because silver is the color of what? What's silver the color of? No, you fellas aren't allowed to answer those questions. It's redemption, eh? Silver is the color of redemption. All of these things had a purpose. You fellas knew that, eh? Silver is a color of redemption. And when you're talking about a mystery of redemption, redemption is two parts, coming out of and entering into. So I thought for this weekend, a part of these things was to be able to come into a higher realm of our positional placing. To be able to reach those plateaus where we should be in this hour, because we're not in the first mile, right? We're in the last mile. We're not under the lion or the ox. We're not even under the face of a man. The anointing we're under is the flying eagle. And the eagle has long range vision. The eagle is built in a certain way. And you're talking about prophetic insight. We're not in the outer court or the inner court. We should be in the holiest of holies. And while we're in that position, because I'm not talking here about justification, sanctification, we've already been through all of that. But I'm speaking to a mature bride of Jesus Christ. We're not here to play catch-up Christianity. We're not here to cover the fundamental foundations of the faith. We're here to discuss what it's like to go on to perfection, what it's like to come into the maturity of the Word. What is the requirements of God? What is the expectation for you? That's what we're looking at. And we want to, maybe through the Scripture, stir up your remembrance, because these are not new things. Maybe it's to bring these things to your remembrance, or bring us into a focal focal point of what the Lord is wanting to achieve for your own life. Because we want that. And if you got a gift, we were talking about the measures of the gift. Thank you, musicians. I don't want you to have to be in the Brillarian. Brethren, you take your seats too. I don't want to that we should have to cover any old ground. We just want to move into places that can be of a help and a benefit to every individual in the body. Because what I find, brethren, a lot of times in the conventions is that the word, especially evangelical ministry, is normally dealing with backslider, new convert, or youth. And it's to convict people of sin, get them drenched, eh? Because it's a cattle roundup, get everybody drenched, and then send them home, and they should be more spiritually healthy than they used to be before. But 90% of the body is not fully catered with, even though we can draw substance from the word wherever we are. And we're always blessed with the word. But we want to be able to deal with the 90% that have been solid all the way through. We want to deal with those 90% that are looking for the further part of the word, or the present stage of our ministry, and the kind of realms that we should be hitting in a time like this. So I wonder if we can turn in our Bibles. I know we haven't got a lot of time today, but we just want to get straight into some things that the Lord laid upon our heart. I want to go to Psalms chapter 139, and we want to read from verse 13. The Psalm of David, a man that understood that he was made in a particular way for a particular purpose. Do you understand the same thing? Have we got the same concept? For thou hast possessed my reins. Is that the one that when you wanted to give up, he didn't let you? When you got the sulks and your lip drop, was he the one that had a hold of the reins and he lifted your lip back up? Amen. Because we didn't do it ourselves. It was him that came and did those things himself. For thou hast possessed my reins. We got a little bit of conflict going on in here. We got some standing, some sitting. So let's all stand. Psalms chapter 139, verse 13. And, you know, when we have a bit of fellowship like this, brethren, then it is, for me, it's interactive. It's not all about the fella up the front doing all the work. You know, it's interactive. There's feedback. This is not just like a lecturer students kind of atmosphere. I never liked that kind of atmosphere myself. We're here to fellowship around the word as brethren of like precious faith. And all I'm trying to do is like the angel that came down to Mary. He had to stimulate her into the season. And even her salutation, when he's speaking with her, is to get her to be thinking in the realms of the fulfillment of the word for her life. And when he began to speak to her about the prophecy that she was to fulfill and the scripture of the prophecies of Isaiah, who said a virgin shall conceive, she realized she was in the condition to fulfill that prophecy. Because she's saying to the angel, how can these things be since I know not a man? She's told by the angel that she shall bring forth a child. Right? Now, she's thinking, how? This has never been done before. But the angel was there to bring her into the I am present tense word. Not I was, not I will be, but I am. And that's what I believe that these meetings are all about, to not only to bring us into the I am, but what part of the I am are you? This would be a super church and a super race, but what part of the super church am I? What part do I play? Amen. How long do I have to be in the body before I can go into action? Look at the Samaritan woman. How long was she in the church? And then she ran into the city to do some end time evangelism. Oh, but you sisters have got to keep silent in the church. Come on. There's gifts in the body and we need to liberate those gifts. Sure. Because what did she do? She dropped her denominational water pot. She ran into the city. And she said, come see a man that's told me all of my life. Isn't this the Messiah? And her corridor to the city started a church. Look at how great our God is. You mean to say you don't have to be in the message for 3 years before you can do something in the body? She went to work straight away, saints. Glory is how quickly we can yield ourselves to the leading of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. For thou hast possessed my reins. This is personal. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully, you have to understand this, and wonderfully made. God made you. He made you with your temperament. He made you with your personality. And he made you with your temperament. The prophet said that the Holy Spirit moves through you, through your temperament. So he gave you that. Some of you are real melancholy, huh? Mate, musicians are melancholy. Melancholy is up one day, down the next. Melancholies are perfectionists. Their expectation of themselves is very high, but their expectations of others is high too. Hey? A perfectionist will get a table and sand it down so that all the grain pops. But somebody that's not a perfectionist, they look at it, man, I've done a good job. The perfectionists come and say, mate, you haven't even started yet. That's the difference between the personality, but you are curiously and wonderfully made. God made you that way for a purpose. And you have different personalities. Some are introverts. How many can put up your hand and tell me you're an introvert? I got to put my hand up in that too. How many extroverts? That means a whole heap of you don't know whether you're introvert or extrovert. Just as well you came to this co-papa. An extrovert is like the life of the party. Peter was an extrovert. Hey, Peter was the spokesman of the saints. Peter would be saying, if everybody was to leave the ship like a bunch of rats, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hey, is that the extrovert? He's the one that is the spokesman for your group. But the introvert is like the church mouse. How many church mouses we got here? Hey? See, this is all about understanding how you are curiously and wonderfully made. Because he says, marvelous are thy works. You got to see God made you marvelous. And you are thinking, man, I wish I could pray like sister. She can just touch the heart of God. Or I wish I could express it like brother. No, you weren't made to express it like sister or brother. You were made the way God made you for a purpose. You have to fit a certain part in the body. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. In other words, he knows you better than you know yourself. He built you. He made you. He designed you. And he designed you for a purpose. When I was made in secret He was thinking about you before the foundation of the world. He was thinking, I need this brother for such a time like this. I need this sister to come on the scene. You might have been camouflaged, a camouflaged gift at the bar. Hey, behind one of them schooners. You might have been a camouflage gift, but God had a purpose. And sometimes he hides you so that he can release you for maximum impact on the battlefront. Glory. Secret weapon. You're a secret weapon. Made in God's hands. We talked about God having seven stars in his hands and releasing one of those seven stars into the Ephesian church age. One, a great one, into the Laodicean church age to bring us out of Laodicean condition. Is that right? What about you? A star in his hand. Amen. Is there a secret to go from the dust to the stars? Amen. Look at these things, and all of these things are in us, in you. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You can have your seats. Praise the Lord. So what we're trying to show you here is that God designed you the way you are for a purpose. And all he wants to do is bring you through the stages of justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so that he can use you. Now, he can use you in any capacity that you yield to him. But I believe we're living in a time where we come into a place of perfection, or another word for that is maturity. It's maturity. We come to a place of maturity in Christ. Now, this is the season for maturity. So when we're talking about these things, brethren, you begin to understand he's designed you to slot into the body. And sometimes it's more than just if you are given a gift of singing, for an example, it's more than just singing. Because many of you would have an ability to be able to know the times and the seasons. Some would be able to create an atmosphere. Just by a smile, they create an atmosphere. Hey? I know there's some brethren in our church that just their smile lights up a room. And if I don't see that gift in operation, I'm checking it out. I'm saying, hey, what's going on? The devil trying to rob you of your joy. Because you being robbed of your joy, the body is robbed of their joy too. Circumstances should not stop the operation of the gifts. So this is about that kind of understanding and not thinking, Lord, make me like this. He designed you the way you are for a purpose. And then how does he bring you into your place? Exodus chapter 23, verse 20, behold, I send an angel before thee. The purpose of the angel, and that's an angel with a capital A. And that would always refer to the angel of the Lord. So he's been with you, amen? He's guided you into all truth. So he's bringing you. I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. Sometimes we thought we were veering out of the way. He was still keeping you in the way. Because you had to go a certain way. Children of Israel could have taken a shorter route into the promised land. God took them through the wilderness. Because he wanted to get all the fight out of them. He wanted to get all the carnality out of them. He wanted to get all the humanistic stuff out of them. He wanted to get them away from their own human ability. So he had to take them through a journey for 40 years. Through the wilderness. Bible says until all the old fighters had died out. And then once when that last one of those old fighters had died out, He says it's now time to cross over the brook Zered. Because the purpose to come through the wilderness was a stage of sanctification. Amen? Sanctification. Because the Holy Ghost cannot come and dwell in an unclean vessel. Now the sanctification process is probably one of the longest processes. But once we fully yielded ourselves to the Lord. You see, saints, my ministry changed when the love of God filled my heart. Then I've been talking about a few times when I've been down to Auckland sharing the word. The work that we had accomplished by God's grace in close to 70 countries around the world was because of sacrificial love. Hey? Sacrificial love was a big part of it. And the brotherly kindness, because of a certain compassion. But when divine love came, that changed my ministry. And that's the need of the hour, is divine love. I just want to read a quote from the prophet. All of these things is just to set a scene for the direction that we want to go to by God's grace. And in a message, the works that I do bear witness of me. Friends, find divine love and favor with God. Then God, if he finds favor with you, will give his gifts unto you. But first, find the giver. Seek the giver, then the gifts will come as God sees fit to give it to you. Do you believe that? So now when you go around like this and different people seeking all night for gifts and things like that, go back till you find love. Till you shake hands with your brother across the street then. Then we'll talk more about getting the gifts then. That's right. When you get the love of God in your heart, then you talk about the gifts. And that's one of the keys for me for this hour is divine love. So we've gone from faith, the fundamental foundation, into divine love. That's God's own love. That's the seventh seal himself coming to your life. And then that is the changing of your ministry. That's what brings the change. That's what makes your worship so much more special. So it's not just corrective love that we had as parents. You all know what corrective love is, eh? But corrective love is a journey to divine love. Yeah. And I had sacrificial love. But what we needed was divine love. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part can be done away with. Right. Amen? Yes, so in Exodus chapter 23, that angel will go before thee and keep thee in the way. The way is your journey. And the journey takes you through junctions in your life. Sometimes those junctions bring you to a place of desperation. That's where a lot of the changes come. You should understand the junctions in your life. You should, with your testimony, be able to see what you come from, where you are to, and where you're heading from here. All for the glory of the Lord. You see, I don't like to too much. I remember I was always testifying of what a bad fellow I was. That had an effect on my children. Hey, I don't want to magnify that old man. I want to magnify the new man. Because they wanted to be like me. I was like the idol. Then they want to be like me. But the other fellow. Not the one that has been born again. Hey? The world don't need that. The world don't want that. So, you know, I'm always careful with those kind of things. I want to glorify the Lord with every breath, with every action. We want to be able to glorify him. So that angel of the Lord, I know my journey. He kept me in the way. Even when I didn't know the way. And sometimes you've got to walk by faith, right? And to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. So you have a place prepared. You are curiously and wonderfully made. He made you to fit that place, and nobody else can fit it like you can. Other ones can sit as a substitute. Until you were birthed into the body and you come into your supernatural place. And then the tutor was not made or designed, and the tutor is the Holy Ghost, to fulfill that place. You were designed to fulfill that place. Because when the tutor helps to guide you into the provided place of worship, what does he do? He goes and reports to the Father, and then he withdraws, and you fulfill that part with Christ, the Holy Ghost, in you. So he's prepared you, and he's prepared a place for you. Now, are you in that place? Because you've got to be in that place, fulfilling the purpose of your calling before the rapture, and we're not far away from that. Because what we want is for the bodies of Jesus Christ, no matter where we are, to function 100%. We want it to be functioning like a well-oiled machine, where every cog, where every member of the body is fitly joined together, and then they can operate under pressure. Without pressure, with pressure, they can operate. Like the cooks out there in the kitchen, they can operate. I try to keep out of the kitchen. I'm not blessed with that gift. But I know others that are blessed with that gift. And they go in there and they fulfill that part. They're cooks in the kitchen. I'm a cook right here. This is where I mix my chemicals together. This is where I can get the ingredients and make some cakes that will keep you sustained for 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. Is that supernatural food? See, there's gifts that can accomplish and fulfill these things. Now, in verse 23, he says, "For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites." What? He brings us to the enemy in the camp? And the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hevites, and the Jebusites. Now he bring you to them, and I will cut them off. So you think it's you cutting them off? No, it's him. And I will cut them off. So he wants to bring you into that confrontation, and then he deals with that in you. Because we're not just talking about Hittites and Perizzites and Ariites. Hey, we're not just talking about all of these fellows that the Lord brings us to. But he brings you to these strongholds in your life. And then he cuts them off. Because you come to a place, I don't want that no more. This is hindering my life. I don't need that. It's time for me and you to part ways. See you later. And does he keep calling? in the memory cells and all of these different things about the leeks and the onions of Egypt and the glory days? Come on. But he said, I will cut them off. And he does that, saints. He does that. You confront those Perizzites. Praise the Lord in you. Because this is the land. This is the land that you got to be a king over. Because we're called to be priests and kings. Amen. And this is the first kingdom that we are a king over. King over your body and your spirit realm so that your soul can operate right. And then he said in verse 31, and I will set thy bounds. So the boundaries of your gifts is set in the wood. Remember that, saints. And your boundaries are not your limitations. Don't think yet your boundaries are limitations. Your boundaries are your possibilities of what you can achieve. Amen. When we saw Jesus take the gold coin out of the fish's mouth, that's the possibility of what the trustee can raise up into. When they begin to break the bread, that was the possibility of what you can do to be able to feed the convention. I always give our trustees that challenge. Find the gold coin in the fish's mouth, they will. And they go, well, how am I going to do that? That's not my land. That's your problem. Find it. We need it. And that's it. They have to wait on their ministry. This is not a natural ministry. This is a supernatural ministry. Some are very good businessmen as trustees. But the supernatural part is even greater because we have to, in this hour, break into a supernatural economy. Now, come on, saints. I've been talking about coming out. Come out of her, my people. Seven meetings, a seven series so far. But after coming out, you've got to enter into. And what are we entering into? An economy by faith. Glory. And there's a natural way that he fulfills these things. Like we go out on the Moana. Everybody is coming home. They got one fish, two fish. We got a boatload. Because Jesus shows us where to cast it. And then if we come back and we boast and we say, man, look at the catch we got. Eh? Next time, dry as because you took the glory for that. No, I know what our God can do. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I was talking to Brother Siu about, he was asking me, oh, you know anybody with some pigs? I know somebody with some pigs. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and he also owns the hills. But I didn't think it would be at a time when I was in the bush hunting by myself. And the Lord gave us this 140-pounder, and I think, praise the Lord, and then I got to carry it out by myself. Hey, supernatural economy. An economy by faith, but the ability to ask what you will and watch God come on the scene and meet the needs supernaturally. So this is what I'm saying, saints. We can come out of the world. We can come out of mystery Babylon, but we have to be able to enter into Christ. We have to enter into the supernatural part of your ministry. That's what I'm talking about. A supernatural part, saints. And this is the thing. Have we achieved that part? Or have we only had a foretaste? Are we in the fullness of our supernatural ministry? Or are we still going through the amateur part? Where the prophet was speaking about the amateur part was actually five different manifestations of the power of this third pull. Speak what? Tumor out of existence. Speak squirrels into existence. Now that was only to prove that he was amongst us. The power of the spoken word in your ministry to edify the body in love. Glory. So this is the thing, you have to understand the boundaries by the gifts operating in the Bible. Because your boundaries are revealed in the word. Amen. Because what it says in verse 31, and I will set thy bounds, and they're specific boundaries, from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines. So, okay, they know now where the boundaries of the promised land is. From the Red Sea, right up over here, to the Sea of the Philistines. Whew, that's a big chunk that he's given us. And from the desert unto the river. So he's showing them the boundaries. This is your land. Now go in and possess it. This is the key. You going in to possess your land. And this is what it is, because this was a land that was divided to the bride body. But then it comes down to the next part. What part do I possess? How do I find my place? Now what I'm saying is many have found their place. Many are functioning because we should have not one, there shouldn't be one member of the body that is not a functioning member. Every member must be a functioning member in the body. Praise the Lord. Now what about when the gift of a pastoral ministry has positionally placed every member of the body until they can function right? What a body move that is. Because, you know, a little fellowship like ours, because we positionally place the members in the body, look at how effective A small fellowship can be internationally. And the things that have been accomplished by His grace, because everybody is in their place. Very, very effective. But then we also see if there's something lacking, I should be able to know where that resource is in another part of the body. If I need a supplementary ministry to my ministry, maybe we need an evangelist to come on through, and then we bring that ministry in to be effective in the church, and then needs are met by that ministry that is a part of the body. So this is what I'm saying. This is why I want to lay a foundation, because your gifts are identified in the Word. Now let's just go through for another scripture in Joshua chapter 14. And this is dealing with how you find your place as an individual. What did I say? Right. Now the reason why I'm saying this, using Joshua chapter 14, is because the children of Israel have come into the promised land. Each tribe has had their allocation. And if you have a look at the tribes, just like the churches, because every church should know the speciality they have. And the speciality is normally tied to the gift of ministry in the church. Peter had certain land that he ministered in, and he was effective. Paul had certain land, and sometimes that land overlapped. Because sometimes your gifting will overlap with another person's land as well. Or sometimes you have the same land. Hey? But don't see somebody, because, you know, we all know what it's like to, what it says about removing another man's landmark. And we say, hey, that's my land, bro. Yeah, get out of my inheritance. You're cramping out my style. No. Possess that land together. Glory. And in fact, some of the tribes that had already received their land helped their brethren to come into their land. Is that right? So we should all be helping one another to possess our land. Because especially when you're talking about musical gifts and singing gifts, but they're not just to sing a song. It's to create an atmosphere. It's to allow the church to come into a supernatural place. It's to bring healing. Like I said yesterday, some of those gifts of worship can open prison doors. And then you combine the gifts of worship with the gifts of the prayer and fasting. Look at how effective the team is. Because we're going from effective to supernaturally effective. And that's the place where these things are at. So Joshua chapter 14 verse 1. And these are the countries with the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan. Right? So every tribe had boundaries set. Zebulun was to dwell by the seashore. Simeon and Levi were instruments of cruelty, so they got the harsh land. Paddocks wouldn't do them. Nice, easy land is not good for those kind of temperaments. So you know what they got? They got the mountains. All of those fellows were workers in the quarries. If their land was too easy, they'd overcome the inhabitants in the land, and then they'd want more land to conquer. No, give them that tough land. Give them land where they can get spiritual blisters on their blisters. Glory. And these fellas, stonemasons, they could cut those stones and they could fit those stones into the temple so you couldn't even pass a razor blade. They were so skilled in those areas. But each land has a certain enemy with certain types of weapons, and God prepared you to take your land. That's why you're curiously and wonderfully made. You can take your land. That's why Joshua and Caleb Caleb says, give me my mountain, right? I'm just as strong for war as I was 40 years ago. Give me my mountain. In other words, don't take my land for me, Pastor. I want to take my land for myself. But just show me my land. But when you get into your land suits your personality and your temperament. Your land suits the way you're made. I can just imagine Othniel going up into the city of the book. That was what the name of Kajeth Sepher. And then when he had taken the city, it became the city of the open book. Because only Othniel was designed to go up and take that land. Amen. He was one of the descendants of giant slayers because that city was the city of giants. That's where old Goliath descended from. So it took a lion like one, Othniel, to go up and possess that land. But look at this, fathers. There was a challenge too. There's a challenge in positional placing because Caleb, he says, whoever takes Kajeth Sepher will have access to wife. Now, what motivated him more? Exa or possessing the land that God had given him? Are you quiet? Which one do you fellas reckon? Exa? Sitting on the fence, eh? This is what I was talking about last night. Eh? But this is the thing, eh? Exa was only foreordained to go into one man's side. Right? She was predestinated to be in the side where she came out of. What motivated Othniel was the gift within him. And the challenge, the will that was given him, is what caused him to raise up to take his inheritance. Because that was already within him. Remember, the angel said, I will go before thee. And I will bring you into the provided place of worship. When he got into that land, he had to be gifted enough. He had to have a gift of administration. He had to be able to inspire others because he can't take that city on his own. He had to be able to gather like-minded, precious brothers of like precious faith to go up and take that land. He had to have administration skills because they had to have siege weapons. Look at all this, saints. This is not just Hornet, turn up. Bro, you're going to get Caleb's daughter for a wife, bro, if you go up there. And I'm sure there was a lot of fellas that was keen because what came with it was an inheritance. There were springs of water, there was fields. But that's not what motivates somebody that understands their place. What motivates them is the challenge that is laid before them and the ability within them to let the gift of God within their life come forth to be able to conquer that land and take that land. Amen. So you've got within you the ability to take your land. I think we are in a unique place and position to be able to fulfill what God has called us to fulfill in this hour. That don't matter whether you're the shyest person in the church, whether you're the loudest one, praise God, you have within you to take that land. Now, I believe Othniel could go out and do it. I think Othniel would know how to strategize. And he's not necessarily thinking about Exa. They're just a perk. But the challenge involved not only Exa, because that's predestinated. Hey, that's predestinated. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord and he delighteth in his word. But now how does he raise up to meet the challenge? Because only one person can do it. Now a lot of fellows can have a crack at it and fail. But this man is designed to go up and take the city of the book and then open up the mystery where within him. The seven thunders have to utter through his life. Are you hearing me? Because the seven thunders is the unwritten word. It's not the written word, it's the unwritten word. But it's got to be expressed through living epistles that can be read of all men. So look at him, he just goes into action. He takes all of those resources. He has to have a gift of administration to be able to know what we have to do to achieve this of taking the city. And then do it. He got to gather the material. Look at the gift there. Now Caleb didn't help him out in this stuff. He had to take it. Now what a challenge, eh? And when he took the city, Kirjath-Seba, the city of the book, and it became Kirjath-Jearim, the city of the open book. He had taken and possessed his land. That's how we have to approach all of these things too. So look at the challenge of the father. Hey, ye sisters, this is what the challenge that I would lay out as a father. Possess your inheritance. Is one of the first parts to these things. Challenges that you face in coming into your place. Now, Joshua 14, come into your land, but now it's not time to understand where your lot falleth. And then these were the ones that were dividing the land for an inheritance. Eleazar the priest. That's the ministry, or specifically the pastoral ministry. What a big responsibility the pastoral ministry has in positionally placing the members in the body. But it's not just the pastoral ministry, because Eleazar the priest has the Urim Thummim. Right? And the Urim Thummim is discernment. Now, your positional placing is supernaturally revealed. But remember, Moses, in blessing the children of Israel, he was positionally placing them in the promised land. Not only Moses, but Jacob was positionally placing the children in the promised land. He was placing Dan. And then Moses came and blessed them supernaturally. And the Hebrew mothers in their birth pains, they were crying out their place in the promised land. So three supernatural parts. So it takes a supernatural placing to bring you into your place. This is not natural, this is supernatural. Hebrew mothers in their birth pains would cry out, Judah or Dan, positionally placing them in the tribe. But this time when they came into the land, they still hadn't possessed their land. It was time for individuals to take their lot. And the lot is a certain measure. Now we're speaking about a little bit earlier about Romans chapter 12 verse 3. And Romans chapter 12 verse 3 was each one of us has been given a measure of faith. And a measure is a lot. It's a certain amount. So one might have five measures of a gift. The other one might have two measures of the gift. The same gift, the same land, but a different measure. Right? And then the other one I gave you was Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7. Every one of us has been given a measure of the gift of Christ. Now the faith that he give us and Christ, the gift that he give us, praise the Lord, he give us a certain lot. And this is what it's talking about there in Joshua 14. Now I want to show you something here too, because not only Eleazar the priest and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Joshua is a type of the Holy Ghost, right? So your pastor, the Holy Ghost working on you, and then the heads of the fathers of the tribes. I bring that down to parental responsibility. Parents looking at their children, identifying certain characteristics in their own children. Because the responsibility is not just the Holy Ghost and not just the pastor, but parental responsibility to be able to identify certain traits, certain characteristics of gifts. Glory. This boy is a little bit strange, but God made him like that. This one, like Joseph, dreams dreams. Shares it with his brothers and they get hoa with him. This one here, she just sings all the time. It's like she got ants in her pants. She just dancing around and she's singing and humming and all the other kids are saying, oh, shut up. But that's a gift. You can't help it. It just keeps bubbling out. This one has got a certain gift of rulership and has all of the other children organized. Almost becomes like the policeman in the home and begins to allocate jobs. And the parents didn't give that allocation, but there is a gift that's bubbling up in the child, but they got to be able to know how to identify the gift. Amen. Because once you identify the gift as parents, you give them appropriate gifts. Now, it's just not a time like, I don't know, man, when I was growing up and it was Christmas and parents would give us gifts, you know what it was? Socks and undies. Those were the gifts. Practical, eh? Practical as. But these days, you know, they think the thinking is doll for the girl, truck for the boy. Well, there's world gifts. What's that got to do with the gift in the lives of your children? If they're musical, they'll make music out of anything. They'll pick up some cans. Hey? You know, you take Eli for an example, right? I would know how to mechanic the TV so they can't get the picture. But then Eli gets a hold of dad's drill, drills a hole in the back of the house, sneaks a cable, connects to the TV, sneaks the cable up onto the roof, right? So that they can watch the screen while mum and dad are in the prayer meeting. Now, do I go home and give them a towel around the ears? Mate, I'm laughing. Because I realize that's not normal. And these fellas that can get a hold of a radio because I've nuked it so they can't get those rock and roll channels, right? And then they start tutuing around with that thing until they can get a clear signal and they can pick up channels that I can't even get. That's why he's a pretty good technician in the church. Amen. I got to understand the gift. I got to know how to positionally place the gift. Amen. I got to get that gift functioning the way that God wants it to function. Amen. Because God placed those things in there. But as parents, we have to be able to help to identify the gift and then give appropriate gifts. Because once Jacob gave a coat of many colors to Joseph, it's because of the gift in his life. But the other brothers got jealous of the gift, right? They didn't understand the gift. But that's all a part of the positional placing and parents giving appropriate gifts, help them to come into their land. And then when you see that gift coming on display through the church, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord at the age of 12 was ministering in the temple. He goes in there at the age of 12. Why? Because he was foreordained. That gift was built to operate in the body for a specific purpose. So what I'm trying to say is sometimes we thought it was just Joshua that positionally placed. It's the Holy Ghost that took your life and positionally placed you in the promises. And not just the Holy Ghost. It's a pastoral ministry. Sometimes the other members of the fivefold ministry, but specifically a pastoral ministry. That's the mystery between shepherd and sheep. Positionally place you in the promises. And then develop the gifts. Is that what the Lord did to develop the gifts of ministry of Peter, James, and John? He gave them some special attention. And sometimes ministries, gifts of ministries, need special attention. They need a little bit of extra fellowship. They need a session up on Mount Transfiguration. They need to understand about adoption. They need to understand about terrestrial bodies, theophany bodies, and glorified bodies. Amen. But that's special instruction that you don't necessarily get from a convention. That's pastoral fellowship. Nurturing the gifts. Preparing the gifts. And then not when we think that they're squeaky clean, throw them in the fray. Chuck them in the deep end. Hey? Like I used to do with Brother Dave and Eloy when I'm ready to go overseas, right? And then they're so used to me ordering the way that it's going to happen. Hey? Okay, you know, you take this Sunday, this brother take Wednesday, this brother take the Friday prayer meeting. And I used to do that. And then they're saying, oh, what's happening? What's happening? Hey, you fellas come to a place, man, take the services. I'm leaving it in your hands. And it's like, hey. Because it's time for the development of that stage of the ministry. This is not all about me. I know what I can achieve. I know what the Lord has given me. But now, chuck them in a deep end, swim. Fly or die. Amen. And you know what? They fly. They fly. Glory. And that's what it is sometimes. Saints, we just got to trust, because once we've identified the gift, and discernment by the ear and thumb helps to identify the gift. Because gifts, according to the scripture, has certain characteristics. There's certain characteristics to a gift. Amen. And this is what it's all about to me. Positional placing of the gift. Because you cannot really come into a place of rest for yourself personally until you find your place. And until you're operating in that place. And then you become an integral part of the body. And you don't have to be persuaded. Bro, come to church, Ehwa. Bro, you've been missing the prayer meeting. Some pastoral pressure, eh? No. They want to be in there because they know they got a responsibility they need to fulfill. They know I'm an integral part of this body. There's responsibilities that I got to fulfill. And just like the pastoral responsibility, right? Every member of the body positionally placed knows their place, and they can't wait to move in that capacity. Then there's an eagerness, saints. Glory. They can't wait for those church doors to open. You know, I always almost feel lazy these days. Because all I have to do is come and preach. Praise God for that. But before, I used to be the janitor. When our church was up in Pakaraka, I'd have to come down to the hall, and they've just had a social or a party or something like that. I'd have to clean up the hall. I'd have to say to the fellas that were still sleeping in their cars outside the hall, bro, we're having service soon. So you're here, you might as well come in here. Hey, give us a hand to clean up the hall, bro. You made the mess, give us a hand to clean it up. You know, all of these different things, but so we had to get in there, we had to clean it, we had to have the air fresheners and all those kind of things. And then I was the chorus leader. And then I got demoted. And then I had to do the preaching. But we were praying, and this is the thing. This is how the church births members into the body. And we were praying, and then God give us a worship leader. But I had to identify the gift. And I had to be, I wasn't reluctant in giving that land away, man. I gave it quick. We had to have gifts of administration that can take care of finances. We had to have trustees in there. We had to have all of these ones positionally placed, because we started off just with one guitar. And that was our worship. And then my nanny, she was a piano player. I think all the way until she was 83, playing that piano. 83 and three strokes. One of those strokes paralyzed down one side, right? She could only lift up this hand. Lift up one hand. And so she tried to get this hand to lift up because she loves worshiping the Lord. Huh? And this was a paralysis so that she would still play with one hand. And then she grabbed a hold of this one, lift that hand up, and then lift up this hand and praise God. And it wasn't long after that that the Lord took away that paralysis, and then she began to play. Praise the Lord. She was the foundation ministry for our worship team. And then some of the other brethren learnt from her and also her attitude towards worship. Praise the Lord. You see what I mean? Because that was like a Genesis. And they see these kind of examples of what God can do. Positionally placing the body, and how I relied on those old sisters. How I relied on those prayer warriors while I was out in the fields. This is what we're talking about, saints. How we rely on the body work to fulfill all of these different places. And by God's grace, he began to birth different members into the body. He began to draw members in, and then we positionally place them, because there's not one non-functioning member in the body. Every member is a functioning member, but you have to find your place. And then the pastoral ministry helps you to come into your place. But sometimes, you know, a person thinks, no, bro, I'm not designed for that. Trust that gift. It's a mystery between shepherd and sheep. Amen. Or sometimes you got to start as Robert was saying last night. Start with cleaning the toilets. Start with doing the dishes. Start with that out there in the kitchen, huh? And it doesn't seem like that's very, gone. But what a place to start. A place of service. Amen. Teaching how to be a service for all. Praise the Lord. And then being able to identify, because a gift has got to be on display so it can be identified. Amen. And then our responsibility as ministries to help to bring it out. Identify these gifts within the body and then bring it out so it can edify the body in love. So that one is to me, it's kind of important too, because you understand then who is helping to positionally place you in the promises. And sometimes this is a good thing to be able to have the mystery of redemption between shepherd and sheep flowing. Brother, what do you think? My inclination is in this area. What do you think? And then be led. Amen. His Holy Ghost is working on you too. And then you bring all of those things together by God's grace. My goodness, we better move. Now come in here. Let's try and get some, because their natural land is our spiritual land, right? Let's have a look at some of those gifts, because what we're wanting to do is identifying certain characteristics of gifts in you. Now, we actually went through a lot of these things. This is actually a booklet that we compiled, the whole church actually compiled, and then the gifts of administration, they took their place, and then they begin to put these things together. So every gift is associated with understanding the place where your lot falleth. What's your part in the body? And each one of those gifts that we've been able to identify, we have actually put it down. For an example, in Corinthians chapter 12, because we're just having to jump ahead a little bit, there's gifts of wisdom. So we took, now I'll make these available to the ministering brothers, and then if they want to, they can distribute those things. But there is all of the, some of the main scriptures, not all of them, but there's some of the main scriptures of the gift of wisdom, right? Because how many have got a gift of wisdom? Oh, not very many hands. Of course, the ministry has to have a gift of wisdom. The ministry also has a gift of discernment. Eh? But then if I ask you whether you got a gift of wisdom, I want to know what's your measure. Because let's use the gift of wisdom as an example, eh? And that gift of wisdom was, if you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because I want to show you the boundaries that were set in the word and the purpose of those things. And then the booklet actually helped the individuals in our church. Now, we haven't made this available to anybody because we wanted to make sure it worked for our church. And I wouldn't give it to individuals. I'd give it to the ministers because he might look at it and say, nah, not the direction that we want to go. That's up to them. That's the sovereignty of the local church. But I can tell you this, it's been very effective for us and for an international bride body. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He does not want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Amen? Come down to verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. In other words, what he's saying, there's certain gifts, but there's certain characteristics of the gifts. There's certain measures of the gifts. And to really come into a maturity of that gift, you have to understand these differences of the gifts of wisdom. Because you have a gift of wisdom like Solomon, which I would say had five measures of the gift, right? And Solomon, with his wisdom, could ask for a sword to solve the mystery between the two mothers who were claiming the one baby. Give me a sword. Is that wisdom? And what we're going to do here is chop the baby in half. I'll give half to you and half to you. And one of those mothers says, yeah, we'll do it like that. Because Solomon, with his gift of wisdom, is identifying the characteristics of motherhood. And a true mother would never do that. And that true mother, Solomon just looked at the woman. He says, give the baby back to her mum. And then they saw the gift of wisdom on display, right? But there is also what they call wise-hearted woman. And it's a certain measure of the gift. One measure is a gift that allows them to come into a place of ministry. But there's another gift of wisdom where there was what they called wise-hearted woman in the scripture that could weave goat hair. You say, what's so great about that? Well, this is weaving goat hair on a live goat. On a live goat. Because they had to keep the luster of the colors of the goat hair. And you could only do that if you were weaving goat hair on a live goat because it kept the oils in there. Now that's a bit of wisdom. That's a bit of skill to fulfill that, right? But that's what the Bible called them, was wise-hearted woman. Amen. Because sometimes they got to be quite wise-hearted to know how to intercede between the husband, the judge, the lion, eh? And the lamb. They had to be pretty wise to be able to know how to fulfill that. But I'm talking about measures of the gift. What about the gifts of healing? Where, say, for instance, we have gifts of healing, and it's not just one gift. It doesn't say gift of healing, it says gifts of healing. Because there's the gift of healing, and you understand our rongoa. You understand those herbs and all those plants that God placed healing gifts within those plants because those herbs were for the healing of the nations. And the herb wasn't marijuana. In my old school version of the interpretation of that scripture, I thought everybody was going to smoke herb and Irie out. No, I had the wrong interpretation. But the herbs, our ronga, was for the healing of the nation. And that's a gift to understand how to utilize those plants, those roots, whatever they might be, right? And then there's a gift that can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And there's also a gift, not just in the body realm, but in the spirit realm. And that sometimes is in conjunction with gifts of prayer and fasting, because those ones can only come out by fasting and prayer, right? And some people have already got that inclination before they come to the Lord. But when they come to the Lord and they yield that gift under the power of the Holy Ghost, now watch how effective that gift is in the church. Now, some of those gifts are effective. For an example, a mother has a gift of healing for her children. It's a certain measure, right? She can pray for her children and the children get healed. But she hasn't got the measure to be able to come up in front of the church, right? And lay hands on somebody in the church. It's a measure of the gift, but it's the same gift. So there's differences, and this is what we want to speak about in the maturity of the word. Praise the Lord. Now this comes down to Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 1 and 2, actually. Turn your Bibles with me to that. And we'll come back to wisdom in a second. What did I say? This is what happens, you know, because you know a scripture, but then I'll say it. And then, now all of the gifts that you've been given, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that's verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So actually, the measures of the gifts that you were given are your reasonable service, associated with your reasonable service. Can I read that again? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies that God made, because you're curiously and wonderfully made, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. Right? So what we're talking about here is that you have to, when I'm talking about transforming power, I'm talking about self-discovery. And this is one of the keys. Because if you don't discover who you are, you can never raise up to the full potential of who you are. It's not just help from the pastor and help from the Holy Ghost, because he's always bringing you. He will guide you into the provided place of worship. And not just from your parents, because you've got to come into that experience for yourself. But what do you do first? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, you've come through your stages of justification, sanctification, and you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Now your gift will function right. And don't be conformed as well, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And your transforming power is your self-discovery. You discover who you are. You discover what you're good at. Come on, saints. You discover that you can pray for your children and they're healed. And you can be praying in your closet, like Brother Rob was talking about when he was woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and that's not normal for him. But God woke him up and he began to pray for these meetings, right? Pray for the ministry of the word. Pray for the effects of these things. Because sometimes God does that. Sometimes you have a sensitivity. My mum, in our whānau, there's a lineage of what they call a power of makutu. In other words, they can put a curse on somebody and they get cursed. And my mum was so scared that it was coming on her because she had certain inclinations. For an example, the phone would, she'd be sitting by the phone waiting for the phone to ring and the phone would ring. Any of you got any of those things too? Or you know that something's happened with a member of the body. That's not a natural gift, that's a spiritual gift. But it needs to be harnessed. Because that can make you mad too. You can break into another side of that. You see what I mean? But these are signs that you should be able to identify. Man, God made me like this. There should be a sensitivity, but now those gifts need to be trained. Trained by the Holy Ghost. Those gifts need direction. Glory. Now, self-discovery, for an example, a rabbit. Nice, gentle rabbit. But if he doesn't discover, run. The dog gonna get him, right? If you don't discover his transforming power in his legs. Amen. He gonna end up a pile of manure on the ground. I'm saying that straight. I'm telling you what it is. He'll never raise up to fulfill his full potential and get away from the challenges that he faces unless he discovers the transforming power in his legs. What were we singing last night? P-O-W-E-R. Power in the body. You have to discover your transforming power. Glory. You have to discover your attributes and your characteristics. You have to discover what you're good at. Right? Every one of you males was, you know, you didn't like maths, right? And it's weird if somebody likes maths, right? Hey? Well, I wonder if that's to do with your gift of administration. But you were good with figures. Man, we got some fellas in the church that are good like that. Like Brother C, man, that fella, you give him some measurements and his calculator is going, man, ding, 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 ding. And Sister Margaret, a gift of knowledge, she can understand, she can give me dates of when I preach something and give me scriptures of what I preach. And then these other sisters, not brothers, sisters that know the birth dates of all the tamariki in the church. The brothers hardly remember their own children's birth dates, let alone somebody else's kids' birth dates. But those are gifts. Those are gifts in the body. Glory. Somebody remembers anniversaries, but I tell you, I got to have anniversaries written in my diary in capitals. And each one of the children used to go and put in my diary their birth date. My birthday today, Dad. And hope I read it. But this is what I'm saying, eh? And then a lot of them were good at PE. You're discovering by transforming power, you're gifting. What you're good at, what you're not so good at. Amen. Some love that woodworking. They love working with their hands. That's associated with your gifting. Come on. Some have certain inclinations. Tutuing with radios. Hey, you give this thing the bash and then they, man, how many times I've kicked the phone and then one of these young fellas know how to put them things back together again to make it work. You see what I mean? There's a gift associated with those things. But this is it, is discovering your transforming power. Now, when we're talking about while we're here in Romans chapter 12, it also unfolds some gifts a little bit further on. For I say, verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, be humble about what you got. But to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ. And then it goes on to show you Having then gifts differing in verse 6, according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So there is gifts of prophecy. Don't be scared of those gifts. Because Paul is teaching us, I will not you have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. What happens if Anna didn't prophesy? Come on. The prophecy was so that Christ could fulfill the purpose of the prophecy of Anna. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. So there's gifts of teaching, there's different gifts of ministry, there's gifts of exhortation. He that exhorteth on exhortation. See, that's a gift to lift up the body. He that giveth, there's a gift of giving. Let him do it with simplicity. In other words, they're not, like I was saying last night, putting the tab on. Gave this bro this, gave this sister this, gave this one this. Under expectation for payback. There's no expectation for payback. Freely you receive, freely you give. He that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. There's gifts of rulership, there's gifts of mercy. And it's a matter of being able to identify different characteristics of the gift and let that gift operate in that capacity. Back to Romans chapter 12. Corinthians chapter 12, sorry. See, that's good. Somebody's taking me for what I mean, not what I say. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all. So the gift is not given for you, it's given for the body. Brother Branham had a gift of healing, right? And yet he was crook-ass. But everybody around him benefited from the gift. Because the gift is not for you, it's for the body. For the one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Right? That's a gift. Wisdom is a gift. But you know what? We were all given a gift of wisdom, but of a certain measure. Some are super wise, some are not so wise. And then we got to pray, the Lord, give me more wisdom and patience. You ask for patience, you know what you're going to get? Tribulation. Because tribulation worketh patience. Oh, Lord, give me patience. I need it now. That was us in our immaturity, right? Now I don't ask for patience no more. Because I know what's coming. So wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. By the same Spirit. To another, faith. By the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Gifts of healing, right? And you have to have all of those gifts operating in the body. We got one of the sisters over there, Sister Tucker. Man, she's good with her rongoa. She can take that tūpākahi, she can extract all the goodies, she can take that kawakawa and make kawakawa balm, and it's a help to the body. And if she's around within hearing distance, if she's over there in the hall, we need some more. Any of you tasted kumaraho? It's good for the kume. You know what the kume is? Flu, coughs, anything like that. Taste of kumaraho? Oh, mate. It's not like Vicks Formula 44. And not like those nice syrups. Mate, it almost kill you with the bugs. But you go away bug-free. Kumaraho, they call it. We used to use kumaraho for coughs. We used to also use kumaraho for soap. Because they got flowers, and that was their soap. We take the tops of those flowers, rub it together in your hands, and it's not like your fragrant stuff that you're buying from the shop, right? This stuff, you just wipe it in your hands, and it was good for your tapa. Anybody know what tapa is? Because we didn't used to use shoes so much. And in fact, I was 6 years without shoes. You get cracks, and we call tapa on your feet because it's like a thick layer of skin and crust and everything. So So you either got the corn cob. Hey, you ever use corn cob to scrub the old legs? Corn cob or pumice? Or kumarahu, the flowers up the kumarahu. And that was the gentle, nice way of doing it. So you hunted for kumarahu. You knew where to find kumarahu to be able to clean off that tapa. Oh, man, tell me to shut up. Just tell me to shut up. But that's gifts of healing that we were talking about, eh? And I would far rather the flowers of the kumarahu than those corn cobs and the pumice. But, you know, you go down and get that thing done in a shop, that's all they do too. You just got to pay $80 or something to do that. The house is free. Soak your feet in that stuff. Don't have to have tadpoles and stuff eating them like they got over in Asia. So gift of wisdom, gift of knowledge, gift of faith. Right? To another working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kind of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, this is the thing, brethren. We want to be able to identify some of these things. We want to be able to move in some of these groups. And each one of the groups, we will give you one of these. You identify your gifting by the characteristics that are revealed in the Word. Right? So we've got the contents here, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, prayer of faith, gifts of healing, miracles, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, administration. Gifts of exhortation, gifts of giving, gifts of rulership, gifts of mercy. Hospitality is a gift. Amen? Amen. Governments is a gift. Gifts of helps is a gift. Amen? And that's what Pastor Rob was talking about. The helps that can see that the floor needs mopping and just goes into action. You know, you don't even have to ask the sisters, oh, sisters, can we help somewhere? Just jump in. So those are the contents. And then all of these, let's go through one, gift of wisdom, to be able to identify, and we only got a half an hour because our kai is 12:30. And this is how, for me, we help to identify by looking at different characters in the Bible with that gift in conjunction with pastoral ministry, right? What have they got? What did Eleazar the priest have? Discernment. That's it, which was the Urim Thummim back in the day. But every ministry will have a gift of administration. Now, let's just look quickly at that gift of wisdom, because if we identify a character with wisdom, Joseph, did he have wisdom? How many measures of the gift do you reckon he had? 5 measures of the gift. I think so too. If you got a measure of between 1 and 5, we help to identify what measure. And I would say he was right up in the top rung. Because Joseph was a type of Christ. And then you've got a lot of different gifts operating in Joseph as well. You've got gifts of rulership. You've got gifts of administration that he learned in Potiphar's house. You've got gifts of dreams. You've got gifts of interpretation of dreams, which he learned in the prison house. Right? All of these gifts was in him. He's got a gift of wisdom to know how to in the years of plenty, gather the wheat into the garner. You see, all of these gifts was in one person. And sometimes you are multi-talented too, because the gift of Zebulun was gifted in every weapon of warfare. Now, which was the gift that knew the times and the seasons? Anybody? Anybody outside of my church? There was Issachar. The tribe of Issachar who knew the times and the seasons. Why is that important? Because Judah knows when to plant his corn when the body is operating correctly. Zebulun knows when to set their nets because they're understanding these things by the time and the season. those that were down in the plains could understand by maramataka, understanding the moon cycles and the growing cycles and the life cycles, because all of these things are involved in these things, brethren. They knew when to plant. They knew when to harvest. They knew what is the best time to give a certain boost to grow the crop. They understand all of these things. And this is a part of the understanding of the nutrients that are needing in the body in a certain time and season to help the members of the body grow into their place. So let's take that gift of wisdom of Joseph in Genesis 41. You'll read about the gift of wisdom of Joseph in Genesis 41. But the scene is how they use the gift of wisdom. Wisdom to find favor in an environment of circumstances, but understanding in interpretation of dreams and wisdom to know how to bring it to pass. Do you need wisdom? Man, I think we all need wisdom. We need wisdom in when to say and what to say and how to say. Hey? Because you can say the same thing. I can be preaching something and the church not catch it. Somebody come up and say exactly the same thing and they catch it. Hey? And it's like, man, I've been preaching that for years. And you said that's the best service that you've ever heard in your life. Isn't that what happened, Brother Stewart? Man, we were doing all the spade work. Hey, and then the evangelist came in and took the glory. But it don't matter so long as they get it. So long as they get it. The gift of wisdom in Joseph. Identify the characteristic of the gift in you. Because we need those gifts operating. Amen? Now have a look at this one. There's wise-hearted woman in Exodus chapter 35, verse 25 and 26. Turn with me to that. Because sometimes sisters don't think that they should have a gift like that. I tell you, in the Bible, it tells you that they do. What did I say? 35? Exodus 35, verse 25. And all the women that were wise-hearted. Amen. Yeah. That a gift of wisdom. Did spin with their hands and bought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in the wisdom spun goat's hair. Now it doesn't tell you that the goat was live, but you do the study because that's that. And then they could not make any other garment from that method. But the goat's hair was alive when they spun it to make the curtains of blue and the curtains of purple and all of these different things. My goodness, how do you do that? To maintain the luster of the color. Is that wisdom? What about the wisdom of the sister when Joab was sent into the city and he was going to wipe out the whole city to get this fellow that was hiding in the city? Well, a sister that was wise-hearted, you know what she did? She chopped off his head and chucked it over the wall. And the Bible calls her a wise-hearted woman because that stopped the wrath of Joab. Now that's spirit, that's natural land. We're in the spiritual land, sisters. So I don't want no heads rolling overnight, right? We're talking about a spiritual land here. But she was wise enough to know how to stop the wrath. Did Sister Abigail have a gift of wisdom? And Nabal had no brains. Hey? And David was coming and David was ready to breathe fire, but they asked nicely because he had kept Nabal. And he had made sure that all of his his army, all of his soldiers did not cross no boundaries. They kept themselves. They paid for all of the things that they got, and now they needed some supplies. And Nabal refused him. But Abigail had a gift of wisdom. Did she? And she met, because David was ready to breathe fire. And she met him because she also had a gift of intercession. She had a gift of wisdom. She knew how to load up the camels. She load up the donkeys with all kinds of supplies, with bread, with cakes, with dates, and all of these different things. And she came and met him along the way. Now look at the gift of administration. Because a lot of times sisters have got good administration. Brothers not so good. Hey? You know what brothers' administration is? They flick off their socks where, and where they land is where they live. Is that right, brothers? But the gifts of administration, they come along and say, hey, chuck your dirty socks in the wash. Is that a gift of administration? Keep things in order? Or is it around, oh, well, praise the Lord, I got a bit of support back there, right? But those are the practicalities of these things, huh? You know, when I'm overseas, spick and span, I know how to live out of a suitcase. I know how to fold my clothes. I'm saying this because Tree's not here and they're probably listening to it over thing. Because this is me, eh? I got a certain place where I can lay layers of clothes over it. Because this one I'm going to wear again tomorrow. She comes in. Gift of discernment, right? Grabs a hold of my stuff that I'm ready to use for the next day. Gets to the administration. Throws them in the wash. But is that the way that those things operate? But we're talking about bringing those gifts into the body, saints. How do those things work? There's gifts of administration going on, getting a car ready. We don't have to tell those gifts of administration how to work. They go automatically into work, and it makes me feel a little bit lazy. But they know as long as they are fulfilling their part, I can fulfill my part. Amen. There's also wise-hearted men in Exodus chapter 36, how they used the gift of wisdom, they called wise-hearted men, to do all manner of cunning work and craft for service of the Lord in the sanctuary. So remember, Moses was told to make it according to the vision. They could carve wood. They could bend iron. They could melt iron ore to make up the castings of the laver. They could design flowers in the way that Moses said that they should be made according to the pattern. That's wise-hearted men in the church. Those are helps in the church. Praise the Lord. You know what? They see. Oh, man, they already fixed them. That's what I mean. They see it and fix them before I see it. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. There's a little patch that starts to get a bit of water and you know somebody's got to get that nail or somebody got to put a bit of that silicon around that thing before that little spot becomes a hole. Those are gifts that identify these things and make sure it's functioning right. And how does it get smooth like that? She heard me and she come over to listen. But how do you get the church functioning like that? Trial and error. It's not always that way. You know what it took? It takes some pastoral reminders. Hey? It takes some fellowship with the trustees. Come on, brother. Hey? It takes some fellowship with the deacons. It takes some fellowship with the treasurer that's wanting to hold on to the purse strings. No, brother. We're not gonna go into any financial difficulty on my watch. I say, spend the money. I'm not worried about how flash it looks like in the bank. I want it to be flash practically right here. Let's get the job done. Amen. Because that pastoral responsibility oversees all of those things. If I were to use, for an example, Solomon, the gift that Solomon had, he didn't whack every nail in to build the temple. Amen. He didn't do all the carvings. He positionally placed captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, captains of tens, and captains of ones to get the job done. And that's what it is all about. It's the ability to see the gifts in the body, give those responsibilities to brethren in the body, because the main part of the purpose of the ministry is preach the word. Amen. Find the places in the word that can help the body to come into their place and then oversee what's happening in the body. Amen. That's the gift of ministry. So what I was saying the other day was that from after lunch, we want to be able to split into certain groups, right? Did I say that? And this is where the practical parts, because each one of those groups will be giving you challenges. Now, you might feel a little bit hakama, you might feel a little bit shy about coming into a group. But as I was talking to you, I was just trusting that because your ministry, and this is the fulfillment of Joshua chapter 14, your parents, your ministry can help you to understand which group you go to. Amen? And then there's certain challenges that I want to see that those groups fulfill. Now, it's never been done in our country that I can think of. But one, by God's grace, He bring us into the unity of the faith. And once we're in unity, if the church can understand their speciality, because some are specialists in mission work. Some are specialists in the hedges and the highways. Come on. Some are specialists in worship. Some are gifted in every weapon of warfare. Some are gifted with ministry in the local realm. Some are gifted with prayer and fasting, because that is one of our most effective groups, is the group of prayer and fasting. Miraculous things take place. What happens in the fields is because of those gifts. And when those prayer warriors, because there are some that can just pray, there's others that are real koretake at praying. They try, but they try to pray and sleep. That's a perfect sleeping pill for those. Is when you start to pray, right? And then the old eyes start to... But the gift of the prayer of faith knows how to press in, knows how to overcome, knows how to bring this body under subjection, and they become sensitized to these things, and then the gift grows. I think that's one of the most effective. You know, this is why we have quite a few of the brethren in that the gifts of prayer and fasting. And these are some of the groups that we'll be breaking down into. Shall I read them out before we come into that? That's why I got Brother Dave to find my phone. Let me try and find it. Mate, can't even read mine. Oh, yeah, that's the one. See, gifts administration. So what we're going to break down into is worship teams with technicians, right? And that, I know there'll be quite a few. There'll be your singers, your musicians, your technicians. Is that right, Eli? Then we got tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, including those that dream dreams. Many of you dream dreams? Are they spiritual dreams? That's the one that we're identifying, eh? Because a dream interpreted is prophecy. I'm not talking about a dream because you watched a movie. Hey, we're not talking about those kind of dreams. You can keep those ones. Don't need much discernment for that dream. But those go together because these gifts of tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, right? And don't be afraid of those gifts. Because Paul is teaching, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And those are ways for God to show his awareness. There's gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, gift of discernment is to reveal God. There's gifts of miracles. There's gifts of faith. And there's gifts of healings. And these are gifts to show his power. Then there's gifts of tongues, interpretation, prophecy, and dreams. And these are gifts that show his awareness. Now, you know, within the message churches, there's not so much tongues, interpretation, prophecy. Not too many take a hold of dreams. You know why? Because there's a lack of an understanding of true interpretation of a dream. Because a dream many times comes in symbol form. Then you've got to have gifts of interpretation that can interpret that dream. And then when we've identified that, we make it known. Now, a lot of times a gift of dreams, for an example, a dream, a person after the event will say, man, I dreamt about that. All it means is that the gift needs training so that it becomes prophecy before it happens. And it can help to prevent a car accident. Don't travel. And it can be specific. Brother so-and-so, don't travel at this time there because there's going to be an accident. Yeah, an accident happens and then a person is kept safe from that accident because of that prophecy. I remember one of the brothers' houses was stopped from being burnt down because of tongues and interpretation, and it was to do with wires up in the house that rats had eaten, and there were wires become exposed. And then when that was revealed, had a look, sure enough, that's what was taking place in the house. So those things are to show God's awareness, and they're to keep the body safe. It's not to say, look at me, because that's in its maturity, right? Immaturity. When it comes into maturity, the gift will always support the word because we have a more sure word of prophecy. That's what comes across the pulpit. So tongues, interpretation, prophecy, including dreams, deacons, trustees, administration, rulership, and another. Gifts of giving, mercy, and helps. Now, helps is massive. Helps can be from ministry, right? Gifts of helps can be supports in the ministry, not yet identified as fivefold ministry, but it helps to the ministry. And it could go all the way to being mowing the old queer's lawn because she can't do it no more. That's gifts of helps, right? It's quite a big land to be possessed. There's ministry, gifts of ministry and leadership, because we want to be able to encourage those gifts. And there's also Sunday school teachers and youth leaders. And then there's the group of prayer and fasting. Now, many of you would be multitaskers that would be able to align with a lot of those. And we'll put it on the board so that you can see. Let me go through that once again. Worship, number one, worship team and technicians. Tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, including dreams. Shri, deacons, trustees, administration, rulership. Four, gifts of giving, mercy, and helps. Five, ministry and leadership. Six, Sunday school teachers and youth leaders. Now, I think that's a very, very important one for this hour. Amen? We should have youth activity not every 3 months. It should be youth activity every week. So that the young ones, instead of being distracted by sport, by devices and gadgets, there should be things that they can do to help to grow the gifts in their lives. I didn't hear no amens on that, but I'm saying it anyway. To keep them in the way. Amen. So if the angel Christ is in you, aren't you wanting to keep them in the way? Because a lot of these different things are distractions. Who was talking about that? Maybe I might have been a Brother Andy last night. All the distractions from the things of this world to take us away from our true ministry. And then the seventh group, did I give you six? Six was Sunday school teachers and youth leaders. Seven, prayer and fasting. Groups of prayer and fasting. Amen? And then we see what God can do. Now, it's never been done. That's what I'm saying. And we are the guinea pigs. You all are the guinea pigs. Our church was the first guinea pig, by the way. And then, like I said, there's a pamphlet with all of the different information of different gifts that we've identified. But this is just for a interactive get together. And then if you're still unsure, we'll chuck you in the deep end. You know, I used to say to the children, you can do it with or without the hiding. Now let's have it without the hiding. Praise the Lord. And I'm not even sure how the shape and everything, but there is certain challenges that I want every one of those groups to be able to fulfill. Amen. You know, even coming into a place of understanding the measure of your gift. Amen. So I presume Tree's lunch is ready, eh? Yep. So let's just stand and we'll bow our heads in a word of prayer. If there's any questions that you might have over the time, because a lot of these ministering brothers will, I want to put them in to lead the groups. There would be those that already understand about, how can I put it, that would understand about those positions and how to come into the supernatural part of that position. Now, does it feel a little bit scary? Any of you nervous about what's coming for the afternoon? Look at that, fearless. You all are fearless. Praise the Lord. But the whole thing is that we can understand more of why God made you the way that you are by His grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Jess, you want to just close us in a word of prayer, brother?
For the work that you're doing here, Lord, and for explaining the gifts to us, Lord, through your revelation that's been received through the dollar, and I just pray, Lord, that we'll go and have a good cry and we'll be able to go and work on our gifts, Lord. And
yes, Lord. Amen.
Right now, Lord,
yes,
for those who are wondering what their gifts are.
Yes, Lord.
We pray that you would reveal that, and if not to them, to others who would reveal it to them.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Check.
Yep.
Oh, God bless you, brethren. Yes. Just welcome. I've forgotten what I was supposed to say now.
Suen.
Just a bit of housekeeping and just encouraging everyone parking their cars if they can just even park on the lawn or wherever there's spaces and try as much as we can to keep on this side, just to keep our neighbours happy across the road. If we could just watch for our cups, there's a few cups being left around the neighbours and stuff, so just be mindful about where we leave those things. Was there anything else, brother? Yeah, just the rubbish and stuff. I think that was about it. That's not too bad for our first day. So just welcome again, and just enjoy. So we'll be back here, I think,
about 1:30.
1:30. And we're hoping to go to 4.
4-ish, and then we got dinner. 5, eh?
At 5, yeah. Just in fellowship time, and back here at 7.
Right.
Or 6.
Yep.
Thank you, brethren.
Amen. That's us. Kai is calling.